Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
Well, to sustain. So we've been talking about just some key components that are necessary in our walk with God if we are to be in a relationship with Him, experience God, and to know God as our Lord and our Savior. So we looked at just the background of wells from Genesis chapter 26. Just a little bit of background, I'll just repeat some of that. But in Genesis chapter 26, Isaac, the son of Abraham, is now on his own. Abraham has passed away. And they go back into some of the same territory that Abraham was at. The Philistines are okay with Isaac for a while, but soon they begin to dislike Isaac because God's favor and blessing was upon him. And so they began to fill in the wells that Abraham had dug. And even some of the wells that Isaac had dug, they came and said, hey, they belong to us. And so Isaac dug out the wells, and then he had to build new wells, and as he went from place to place. But wells were central to the community and life in biblical times and in part of that culture, not only within Israel, but in that whole world. You needed a way to access drinking water for livestock, for people. And the water was there, but you had to have a means to tap into that. So we've talked about that. The Ogallala Aquifer, they say most of the water is where? It's below. It's below ground, not above it. All right? Sometimes you look at the Platte River, and it looks like it's bone dry, but there's a lot of water that's still underneath. And so wells are that mechanism, that vehicle, the means by which we can get natural water to quench our thirst and live and survive. But Scripture does a lot to say that water is similar to God in our life, God's Spirit, okay? And that like water is to our physical body, God is to our spiritual body. Without Him, we cannot survive, we can't exist. God is everywhere, but not everybody taps into God and experiences God and knows God, do they? And so it's through these wells that we dig and we maintain in our life that we experience God. So what are some of the wells we've talked about? Anybody remember the first one? Worship. So through our worship, as we come before God and praise Him and magnify Him for who He is, what He has done, through our worship, takes many different shapes and forms. It's just not the praise and worship up here we have. It's how we live our life. It's in our prayers. As we come before God and worship Him, we experience God. And we recognize that He is our Lord and our Savior, that He is God, we are not. But as we come to Him in worship, we experience God. What was the other one? God's Word. And so through God's Word, as we study God's Word and His promises, we know who God is. We kind of anchor to His promises of what He has promised to do in our lives. And it's through His Word that we come to know God better. And then we had a third one last week, and that was community. You know, sometimes I think people think that fellowship is not an important thing. It's a fun thing, but it's not an important thing. But I can guarantee you a healthy church has good fellowship, and it has a good sense of community. People are going to want to come to church, maybe because of the worship, maybe because of the message. But I think ultimately it's the fellowship that draws people in and keeps people there and plugged in. So we talked about the necessity of community. This morning I want to talk about the fourth well, and that is prayer and fasting within our lives and how crucial that is to us experiencing God. And there's some overlap probably with this, with worship. But prayer is vitally important. So I want to take us to Luke chapter 5. Jesus is in the early part of His ministry, about 30, 33 years old. He has about 3 years of ministry before He would die on the cross. But in Luke chapter 5, it says that while Jesus was in one town, one of the towns, a man came to Him who was covered with leprosy, skin disease, that would eventually, if untreated, it would just totally slowly eat away the person's flesh, nerves. They would lose hands, limbs from this disease. When Jesus, when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground, probably in shame and didn't feel worthy to come to God. He says, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." In other words, cleanse him of his leprosy, heal his leprosy. I think I've prayed that prayer many times, saying, "God, if you're willing, will you do this?" And within my own life, that's another message. And Jesus says, "What? I'm willing. I'm willing." And immediately the man's leprosy was gone. Jesus said, "Be clean," and it was left. And he was clean. Then Jesus ordered him, he says, "Don't tell anyone, okay? But go show yourself to the priest. Offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Wow, you start having people cleansed of leprosy, the word gets out, regardless if he said anything or not. And that's what it says in verse 15. The news about Jesus spread all the more. So the crowds of people came to hear him by the hundreds, came to see Jesus and to be healed from their sicknesses, whether it's leprosy or other incurable disease that they had sought help for. They came to Jesus to find healing from sunrise to sunset. But verse 16 is where I want us to really zero in on. In the midst of all that was happening, in the midst of the crowds, the ministry that was taking place, how many agree that it kind of looks kind of busy? Verse 16 says what? But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places, and he what? And he prayed. In the midst of all that was happening, all that was taking place, Jesus withdrew alone where he could spend time with God the Father. And he prayed. Let's ask God's blessing this morning. Father, I pray that you would take your word, you would speak it to our hearts and to our lives this day. We're so thankful that you are here with us. And Father, we want you to be our one desire. We want to experience the fullness of God within our own lives. And so, Father, I pray that you would meet us here this morning. Amen. You know, the ministry of Jesus was growing. His time was limited. And yet he was still intentional about carving out time to commune with his Father in heaven. And I know what our lives look like. We have kids' activities that we need to be at. We have our work schedule. We have life. We have interruptions. And yet, when it comes down to it, we make time for the things that are important. And I believe that prayer is probably one of the things we know we're supposed to do and seek God. But I think it's one of the things that we tend to neglect. It gets pushed out because of the other things, the demands of our day, of our week, of our lives. Jesus was intentional. Why? Because he realized that as he ministered to others through teaching, through healing, through deliverance, he constantly had to go back to that well of prayer so that his own spirit and his soul was refreshed. And if that was true for the Son of God, how much more truer is that for us? He had to go back to that well to spend time with his Father, to be refreshed, to be renewed. And I find that because we sometimes neglect that well of prayer, our lives languish. The freshness and the renewal that we could experience in our life isn't there. You know, just like we working on a hot day without water, eventually it catches up with us. And then it happens in our lives as well. We go from this thing to that thing, and we get to the end of the day, and we go, whew. And we lay our head on the pillow, and we get our physical rest, but we need God to come and refresh our spirit and our soul. A couple weeks ago, we were at our winter retreat out in Kearney, Nebraska, and Judy Riddle and her husband Brad have been part of the Lincoln community for quite a while, part of Christ Place on staff there, and then lead pastor, and now has his own family practice counseling in Lincoln, and Judy is helping out at Christ Place, volunteering wherever she can, and really has a neat ministry just in the Everett community. They go in, kind of do not a complete extreme home makeover, but they go and they decorate and even brought in some guys to help with maintenance issues. But they're communicating Christ in some creative ways in some very needy places in Lincoln, doing some great things. But she's in a process of just kind of going from getting ordained with Assemblies of God, from licensing to ordained, and got to hear some of that story, and then got to hear, just as she shared to the rest of us as ministers, of how God, there was a turning point in her life just in the area of prayer. And so I asked her if she would come and share that with us this morning, and to be with us. And so we're kind of team teaching this morning, and she's going to turn, when she's done, she's going to turn it back to me, and we're going to close. But I just pray that you would receive what she has to say, and just maybe you can identify with the journey that she's on.
Thank you, Brent. I'm thrilled to be here, absolutely thrilled to be here, even though it's freezing cold out there. I'm grateful that you come to the house of the Lord on a freezing cold January, February kind of morning. I want to tell you a story about something that changed my life profoundly, my relationship with the Lord profoundly, and it occurred in 1999. But I want to give you a little bit of history first. I was raised on a farm with five brothers and a father who was abusive toward my mother. One of my very first memories was being in the basement with my brother, was probably four or five, and I was maybe three. And we were hiding behind a box of shoes and boots and could hear my father slapping my mother and hollering at my mother upstairs. And as a preschooler, that's extremely and very frightening. And yet, on the flip side, my father was the affectionate one in our family. My mother was not. Go figure. So I learned very early in life to please my dad. I learned to work hard, keep my room clean. He valued a high work ethic. I became a worker bee. I got straight A's in school. When I knew he was going to be home, he worked two jobs. I knew he was going to be home, I made cookies, I made cupcakes. I made sure that it worked. So early on in my life, I got the organization and the strategizing down. Well, then I accepted the Lord when I was 10. My mom took my brothers and I to church. My father was not saved. Took us to church, and I accepted the Lord there when I was 10 years old. Went to vacation Bible school, Sunday school classes, youth group. And when I graduated from high school, I had a sense in my spirit the Lord calling me into full-time ministry. So I went to Central Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. I should just take a side note here. My father accepted the Lord when I was a teenager, and things did change in our family, but not everything changed, but some things did change for the good. So I went to Central Bible College. I'd been filled with the Holy Spirit in the weeks before I went, and everything was good. Everything seemed good. I love studying. Love studying. Brad and I married in his junior year, and we came to Nebraska, because that's where he's from, Bridgeport, Nebraska. We came out to pastor in about 76. So then fast forward 30 years later in ministry, at Christ Place, three children, one married, two in college, another one about to be married. I worked a full-time job as a probation officer. And when you're busy in ministry, you are busy in ministry. And when you're working full-time, you are busy working full-time. And when you have kids and everything, you are busy with that, like Brent was saying. And a wedding coming up, our daughter was getting married. So we just were swamped. And I would describe my relationship with the Lord at that time as strong, good, had good quiet times. I'd heard the Lord. I felt like the Lord had worked in my life. I loved teaching. I loved pastoring. And yet, with all of that, have you ever felt, even in the midst of being busy, kind of flat and bored? Busy, but bored. And you can't really put a finger on it. You just kind of, nah. And we had a pastor friend once mention that he felt prayer was downtime. You know, he was a worker bee also. And he felt like, you know, when you have these weeks of prayer, it's just kind of a downtime. And I could totally relate. It was just kind of flat. You had your prayer list and all that, but things were just kind of flat. Until about 1998, 99, a friend of mine was having a conversation with me just about her quiet time with the Lord. And she said, my quiet time with the Lord is better than a hot fudge sundae. And I remember kind of laughing and thinking, I don't think so. I mean, really? I couldn't get past that statement that she made. It kind of haunted me for weeks, months. What must that be like, though? I ask that over and over again. What must that be like, though? That you could say that. I believe the Lord was my protector. He was my forgiver. We'd had family traumas, church traumas. The Lord was faithful and all of that. But I couldn't say my time with him was just delicious, wonderful, warm, just better than a hot fudge sundae. I don't think so. However, having heard that, that was a seed the Lord planted. And if you hear it today for you, then hang on to it, because that started to draw me, that I needed to experience the hot fudge sundae God. I didn't know, how do you get there? How do you find that? What do you do? I'm busy. I'm really busy. But I felt I had a date with destiny, that I needed to take the time and do what needs to be done, the worker bee, to find the hot fudge sundae. So I set a date with him. Our daughter was getting married, then we were going to go on a vacation to California. And when we got back, I knew it was going to happen. I knew it. It was like you had an appointment. I knew it. We came back to this quiet, empty house. Comfortable, quiet, empty house. And my heart just was pounding out of my chest with anticipation, because I knew, like I knew, like I knew, I'm going after the God that's the hot fudge sundae God. But I wasn't sure what to do about it. So I processed and prayed, and I felt, okay, you're going to journal, you're going to read the Bible, you're going to spend some quiet time praying, you're going to keep your list going. Well, I worked, so you're going to keep working. However, I did feel that I was to lay down anything that was not absolutely necessary to concentrate on this time with the Lord. And I also felt called to fast. I had never fasted a day in my life. A meal maybe here and there, because as a church, we're all going to fast Sunday for something. But never took it seriously for me. But I felt, nobody said anything to me about it. I felt drawn and kind of compelled fast. And I didn't hear for any particular length of time, kind of like indefinite, until, I don't know. But that's how I felt. So, all right, we're going to fast. This is my story, so I'm not giving you a formula, just sharing my story with you. So I fasted, and I had juice and tea and coffee and juice and tea and coffee. And the days went by. I took the word on my lap every time I could, before work in the morning, at morning breaks, at lunchtime, in the evening before bed. I read sections of the Bible. I read books about fasting. I was praying to the Lord, telling him, this is why I'm doing this. I want to know you intimately. Now, when you get into fasting, the practices of it get rather interesting. 10 days, 2 weeks into it, I'm really hungry. I'm really tired. And I'm really cranky. And you have a husband who's wanting to eat, of course, in all these weeks. And so practically speaking, and because you're cranky, this is supposed to be the best time. You are just in there finding the Lord. And I'm tired, and I'm cranky, and I'm having to cook for him. And yet, in all of that, I would not give up. I remember reaching a point about 2 weeks into it when I was tired and cranky and disappointed. It doesn't feel any different. I didn't feel this hot fudge sundae. I wasn't tasting the hot fudge sundae. And I could have done a good job of eating a hot fudge sundae about that time. So I remembered the thing that tripped the trigger for me was, I don't care if this kills me. I will not give up until I find that hot fudge sundae God, I am not given up. Like the passage in Ephesians when the devil is saying, yes, cash it in. The Lord says, when you have done everything to stay standing, stand firm. When you have done everything, and that's just what I had told the Lord, I've done everything. I've fasted, I've prayed, I've read, I've journaled. And then I heard, stay standing. I'm not giving up. If this kills me, I am not giving up. Something tripped in my spirit, and I think it was the cry of my heart that the Lord heard. He says, when you seek me, I will be found by you. When you seek me with all of your heart. It was that sincerity piece. That sincerity piece. I don't care if this kills me. That next week was very quiet. I felt hollow, somber, physically and emotionally still. And it was during that time that I began to experience God. And how I knew it was the hollow, empty, hungry place began to fill. It began to fill like a presence. And then I felt a presence around me. I wasn't alone. He's like, right here. He's here. He's here. He's here. A palpable, you could feel it. Sensation. And when I took the word on my lap, there was a warmth that came with it, like when you hold a love letter. That kind of feeling came with it. And as the days go by, I can't write fast enough. I can hear the Lord speaking, and I can't write fast enough to get down what I hear him saying. And as the days go by, as I look out at the world and I'm looking at people, they look different. Scripture reads different. I feel different. I can feel his presence, his love, his warmth. Delicious. It's like watching the same movie, but now it's in 3D. It was earth-shattering for me. It's kind of like the Grinch, you know, and his heart grew 3 times that day. Just like that. Just like that. I can remember being hurt by the things that he's hurt for more. Being happy and joyful and laughing easier. Laughing easier. Because inside of me, my foundation was worker bee. Worker bee. You do. You perform. Positive work. Rewards. Until I came to the Lord and I said, I've done everything I can do. And he's like, stay standing, be still, be quiet. So that has changed my relationship with the Lord forever. There's this constant aside conversation. It's like an attitude of prayer that you're in. Always constant conversation back and forth. When I read the word, I see myself in it. I see others in it. I hear better. I am nudged quicker, stronger, and easier by the Lord. I know which direction to go. I'm not perfect. Goodness, we had an argument yesterday morning that I'm still a little ticked about. But the Lord continues to do the work. Do you know what I'm saying? Well, so how do you get off of that? In the middle of that, while I'm experiencing the hot fudge sundae, how do you stop? I was afraid, like, so if I eat, is it gone? Does it, like, go away if I eat something? I didn't know what to do. How do you get off? I don't want it to stop. I don't want it to stop. Coincidentally or not, that week, so we're probably 3 weeks, a good 3 weeks into this time, we had a special speaker, a guest speaker, a female, and she was meeting with us pastors' wives at Jackie's house. And when I walked in the door, she didn't know us. She didn't know me at all. And when I walked in the door, she just looked at me And she said, I have seen you. I have seen your face in my prayers and in my dreams. And I see myself saying to you, the Lord has heard you. He's answered you. And now you need to have some soup and salad. Even that, I'm like, how do you get off of this? He's like, I'm going to tell you here, real quick. I'm going to tell you. And she said, he's seen you. He's heard you. He's given you what you've asked for. And now you need to eat something. It's changed my life forever. It really has. The attitude of prayer, the spirit of prayer, wisdom. In this world in which we live, we need to hear him constantly. It really is a well. When it's difficult, you go to your well. This is my well. This is my well. You have to go there. I appreciate the opportunity to share this story with you.
Thank you.
Wells that sustain. You know, when life is going good, many times we don't need that well as much as we think we do. But when things get difficult, that's when those wells are so important, of scripture, of community, of prayer and fasting, of God's word. We need that in our lives. And, you know, if those things are just something, you know, as a pastor, we talk about the importance of those, but if there are duties within our life, that's not true a relationship. I mean, sometimes that's where we begin, but he is to be our joy, our delight in our lives. And I believe that's what God wants to be in our lives. Amen? I'm going to have the musicians come. One of the things physically about fasting that is good, there's a new book out called The Daniel Plan, is many times we've included things in our diet that necessarily aren't good for us, but we've developed an appetite for them. Potato chips, sugary stuff, right? A lot of that stuff they're saying, you know what, it's not good for you. But we've developed that appetite for it. Sometimes when you go into a fast, you pull yourself off of that. And you can begin to develop an appetite again for healthy things in your life. How much is that true within our spiritual life? We try to satisfy our soul with things. Movies, entertainment, relationships. Try to fill that hole because there's a thirst, there's a hunger there. Some of those things satisfy for a time, a moment. I was reading a story about just some of the kids in Africa and that are starving. Okay? They're starving to death, and so that the child doesn't cry, the moms will take balls of clay, of dirt, and feed them to their kids so that their child will feel full and stop crying. Isn't that just sad? And the picture I got is, you know, how many times people in our life that we know or even in our own life, we're trying to satisfy our hunger and thirst for God with clay balls. No nutrition, nothing in it at all. Instead of seeking after one and the true living God. You hearing me on that? Thank you, Judy, for coming and sharing with us. You know, you've walked with God, but we have to come to that place where he is everything in our life. And where our times with God, whether it's in his word and prayer, it's our delight. It's not our duty, it's our delight. Amen? Would you stand this morning, Josh and Karen, and I've asked Brad and Judy if you need prayer this morning, they're going to be up front at the sides here. But I want us just to press in, and we're going to close with this course in the secret place. Would you make that your prayer this morning? And if you want to come forward and pray, if you want to pray at your seat, but would you seek the face of God? And I'm not doubting that any of you don't read your Bible or pray, but is He that one delight? I love hot fudge Sundays, so I can relate to that. But is He your joy and delight? Amen. Let's sing that together this morning.